now beaming into Nerd FT Radio.
This is Nerd FT Radio, where nerds full-time, explorers of the metaverse, surfers of the blockchain, and not in our mom's basement. I'm your host, RSG, a.k.a. Pink slash Yellow Socks Guy, and I'm here with Crypto Crier, a.k.a. the Boring Punks Schiller. How are you, Crier?
Doing great, man. A little nice little pump and dump on
you keep the doing your pump. Thing. We took a, by the way, we took a little break as well. We had a little two-episode hiatus, and in that time, we recharged. In that time, Crier was pumping out some calls, and in that time, I just need to stop working. That's what's going on here. I need NFTs to keep going up like they used to, so I would think about NFTs more than
I got bad news for you.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, huh? All right, here's to working more for before right. for extra years and months and hours and everything. But we're back. We're here. We ain't leaving. Right, and we got to talk we're about leaving. Some things. So where do you want to start, Crier? We obviously have some NFT things, but to be honest, not as important as what's been going on in the real world. So, Crier, you're our real world analyst here because I have idea what to do with this because you're the one that tells me. So, please elaborate with what's going on.
Today, we had the FOMC meeting. We have these a couple times a year. This is what you know pretty much determines the monetary policy of the United States. This is the 10th in a row that they have raised rates, and this is the first one where they paused. So the previous 10 have been a rate hikes all the way up to 5% interest, and now this was a pause. Markets had pretty much already priced this in. The last couple run, let's say the last month and a half, 2 months, has been a really big boon to crypto and stocks. And then a lot of this was just like, well, as soon as they pause, historically, it's a large downfall across the board, 20, 30% retracements on a lot of positions. So we'll see how it goes. But either way, just the way he was talking, not looking good for the future. This was a pause. He said that most likely this is going to last multiple years at this rate. So if you're looking to buy a house for the next couple years, it's going to be a nightmare. But yeah, so pretty much the idea is we've pumped all this money into the ecosystem. Now we're trying to cool off inflation because we were reaching 9%. This last CPI data came in at 4%, which was under projection of 4.1, which is a good thing. But it's all on the heels of multiple banking collapses and just an overall not a healthy looking market, even though we have seen some stocks go moving pretty good. I don't know. We've seen a lot of movement upwards on,
you know, which
Tesla.
One? Oh, yeah, baby. Listen, I'm a big NFT guy. I'm a big crypto guy now because of all the people, these lovely people, one of them, including yourself, probably at the top of the list. But my biggest bag is always and forever will be my Tesla bag. Keep going.
But yeah, this is also a indicator of unhealthy markets is usually when there's five or six large companies that are taking up a huge percentage. They call it market depth and breadth of the market. So when a lot of the smaller stocks that had been doing really well are all dying, which is similarly what's happening in the crypto market, Bitcoin and Ethereum are holding up their dominance, right? And all these altcoins are just getting absolutely slaughtered. You see that happen pretty much in the regular traditional stock market as well, where we've seen a lot of these. We've had Apple go, Tesla, Nvidia, all these like really large companies taking up most of the gains over the last, 2 months or 3 months. Usually when the market breadth is lessening, it's getting a smaller gaps, so only a few companies are doing successful, or that's usually a sign that there is kind of like that darker things to come. Just my thought process here is probably going to be a rough summer. We've mentioned it before, you know, so just buckle up. 2024 will be good though, because January 2024 is the halving event for Bitcoin.
Ooh.
So I'm not usually a big buy Bitcoin guy
anymore. Huh? We don't like crypto in America anymore. So what's up?
yeah, whatever they want to tell you on that side. SEC's a bunch of lunatics, to be honest.
Kyer, I've told you this once, and I got to say it again. You can only say that on your Twitter because that one gets banned. We're not trying to get the podcast banned or shadow banned either. Come on.
Oh, we have free speech in America, my friend. So I all can right, say right, the SEC right, is going to... We did have the XRP Hinman documents released too, which was actually pretty interesting. The previous SEC chair, Hinman, had a speech that he gave in 2018 discussing crypto and the markets, and there was internal dialogue and commentary made on his speech that was pretty much saying that these start out as securities, but over time they don't be, you know, lose their security status because they become decentralized enough. There's enough participants in the market where it's not relying on a company to drive the success of it. It's more about the overall collective reaching success together, which makes it no longer a security because you're not relying on a specific entity to drive that growth or that value back to the holders, right? XRP had a little bounce on that idea. Everyone in the crypto space should be following it. I think it's going to be one of the most pivotal court rulings coming out, especially with Binance being sued and Coinbase being sued by SEC, saying it's going to take a couple months to get back to the Coinbase. They're just dragging their feet, essentially, what's going on as much as they possibly can. Just how the judge had to order them to release these documents for the XRP case and the Hinman documents and all that stuff. I've been reading about this for 6 months. Like, they've been dragging their feet, and this was the last final day that they had to release. And a week before that they had to release the documents, they sued two other companies. My thought process is to take the headline off of the Hinman documents and more focus on, crypto's bad. They don't care about what the ruling is right now. My thought process.
How I look at it is, again, they're throwing these lawsuits, they're doing these things because they're still to this day having to play catch up. And by doing these things, it's like you said, dragging their feet in the sand and allowing for the government, for them to catch up a little bit with what's already going on. Because obviously, this flew over almost every single government's head. And it was the power of that community, the power of technology, the power of innovators and individuals. All these things combined. So by doing so, this allows them to, again, try to see if they can get those regulations, which they probably can't. And they know how to talk about it, which they don't know how to talk about it. And they know what the future is going to be. They don't know what the future is going to be. So,
but just Coinbase has said multiple times, they've tried to contact the SEC and over 22 times. And yep. Give me some details of what you consider a specific, like exactly what a security is. And they came back and said that everything that we sell on our platform will not be removed. They think they do not hold up and they will fight it. So I'm a big supporter of Armstrong. I think he's going to do good things for it. He's already been one of the ones that's been pushing in the political sphere for a couple of years now. We had the whole FTX debacle. He was the only one that was able to sit down with any of these politicians in the open. And Brian Armstrong has been in the background a little bit, which is, I think, a good thing just because there's somebody rooting for us or leading that, holding up the torch
for it. Yeah.
Leading the resistance, essentially. But yeah, I'm excited to see what these actually come because I think it's just going to give awareness to it. And at the end of the day, Bitcoin and Ethereum are definitely decentralized enough to not be ruled securities, I believe. So Bitcoin has already been not ruled one. The ones that they have named are the 10 that were in question that we talked about a little bit 2 weeks ago, right? Or a week ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah.
Most of the Mana, Decentraland, Cardano, XRP was already in that list. Whatever, five other ones. All generally, those ones, I don't know. I can't say. These are ones that are a little bit more, looks like a corporation, or they look like a structure. Polygon, it's like a company. These are enterprise level stuff. So there could be some serious issues there. But the ones that are the layer ones, I think, are AVAX. Solana, it was called into question just because they don't have a lot of validators. That's my only worry about them. But as long as you're essentially making yourself as decentralized as possible, then technically they shouldn't be allowed to do it. So anyways, anything that comes from this, I think, is going to be a good thing. Like I said, we just need something to be regulated. We need some guidelines. European 33 countries are actively working on some sort of crypto guidelines that are either if it's positive or negative, but at least it is guidelines, whereas the US has done nothing. It's a real shot in the foot.
Listen, the US always likes to just go until the ninth inning. Bases
loaded.
That's
not what they did for the internet. That's why we
a little bit.
No, we were very lacking.
Really. Just went in on it. Yeah.
We allowed a lot of growth to happen without a lot of regulation, and that's one of the reasons that we became a hub of internet commerce and innovation, really.
Listen, Cryer, at the end of the day, crypto and the blockchain kind of goes against everything that the government's been doing for the last forever, and that's somewhat a threat to what's been going on. So when they see that, it's looked at as a threat on their end, other than for the common person, the John Smith, the Joe Smith. Like, literally, it's what we're looking for. But hey, we'll see what happens. We got a full year. We have not a full year, actually half a year. We're going to see what's going down with everything with these lawsuits. Again, it's going to be, we're going to be doing this for a while, it seems. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully things do their things and NFTs go up. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
Historically, ETH goes down. NFTs go up a little bit. So,
listen, man, everyone says that, and NFTs were up at 4,000 when ETH was at 4,000, and I'm still waiting for that day to happen again. So I don't want to hear it anymore.
It's just like it's like oscillating lower.
I'm done. I want both things to go up, and I want to be rich again. All right, that's what I'm waiting for. All right, let's jump into the NFT side. Cryer, I think one of my favorite projects, if not my favorite project, has been listening to our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Someone over there at Cool Cats. Maybe it's the council meetings. Maybe it's the podcast. Maybe it's me just being really freaking annoying. But I got some news for you, Cryer. And we've been talking about this for a long time. NFT projects with good IP, with good opportunity to get into comics, to get into video games that have that Mickey Mouse sensation, that Marvel sensation, that just overall IP sensation should be going to real events, not crypto events, not NFT events. Don't get me wrong. You should be going to those events, but you should be specifically going to other events, kind of what we saw at South by Southwest and we've been seeing at Art Basel. But Cool Cats is heading to Comic-Con.
Nice.
That should be very interesting. We talked about it with Pudgy, how they've been going to IP and licensings, expos, conferences, etc.
For sure.
And
currently
that
at one
is
right now.
Currently at one right now. And by the way, I know you don't like to talk about them anymore, but Doodles is actually at a licensing expo as we speak right now.
Nice.
So these projects are either listening to Nerd FT Radio or they're finally finding the 1 ounce of common sense that they lost in the bull run of the last 2 years. So finally, indeed, we're getting these teams, these startups, these companies, these brands to finally jump into, oh crap, we actually have potential here. And how can we grab that potential? We need to go to specific conferences, specific networking events, specific nerd outing is what I'm going to call it.
Nerd outing.
And this is literally it. So you've always spoken highly of Pudgy and what Luca's been doing, going to these expos, going to these licensing, the IP licenses, the IP conferences, et cetera, to showcase the brand of Pudgy Penguin through GIFs, through memes, through everything. And that's what all these projects need to be doing. And for this event or this news to break that they're going to Comic-Con, I'm actually very excited because I know for a fact that what we experienced, if it's anything like we experienced over in New York with Cool Cats or what we experienced with Doodles at South by Southwest or Doodles in Miami, etc., that could be pretty interesting to showcase to the common person at a Comic-Con. Because once you get those nerds going, listen, you're talking to one right now, as you can see from the back of me. If you get into the hearts of the nerds, it's game over. We'll see how they take the NFT part of it. Because what's going to happen is they're going to walk in. Oh my God, I love this. This is phenomenal. What are you guys? NFT project.
Bye.
Peace. So I hope this is where I get a mix of everything right here. I really hope that the Cool Cats have an opportunity to onboard people at Comic-Con. What that means for me, or what I vision this, if it goes the way I believe it should be, but what the heck do I know? Kind of like what Pudgy, Pudgy did a very good job with their Amazon drop, or their toys through Amazon, through whatever they use. I forgot what they're called. And the way they did it that way was unbelievable. You got the toy. You got the NFT, the QR code, the whole nine. You got something. If we can fit, if Cool Cats, not we, it's not me, I'm just the council. If Cool Cats can figure out a way, if it's traits, if it's free NFTs, if it's something that can onboard people in a simple and easy way, that will be a very successful trip to Comic-Con. But if it's just specifically doing something like they did in New York, will it be successful? Absolutely. But will it be 100% like what we're looking for? I personally don't think so. So I hopefully they see the success of other projects, aka Pudgy, and the way they did it. And if they can implement that in a real life event like Comic-Con, I really do think that you can onboard some awesome people into the community. Because Cryer, listen, man, you and I have grown up nerds, and our friends are nerds, and those friends' friends are nerds, and those friends are friends, and friends are really nerdy, and you already know how those people are, and you're talking, like I said, you're talking to one right now. So if you can get into the hearts of those individuals, it's game over, I think, Cryer.
I would like to agree. I definitely think it's a much broader, these people have no experience with it. Just how I said, we, for the first Doodle South by Southwest event, people had no idea what any of this was at all. They just were like, wow, this is really cool. So what is this? If they had gone like the route of a Pudgy and then been like, yeah, this is our $20 collectible that you can buy right here, right now, people would be like, oh, wow.
What cool. If it was just like, yeah, $20 thing, but here's the thing. You got to have the object. It won't resonate.
Yeah, without
if there's not an object. Yet. We're not there yet. Has to be something. So if we can get an object out there, if it's a blue cat, it's just something, it will work. But if it's just like what happened at South by Southwest, that you had to QR code the PO app on the bear paint bucket. No, that's people that did that, that weren't NFTs, I already forgot about it. So we need a little bit more than that for them to be like, wow, we need that blue cat. Brand awareness. Need that doodle. We need that Pudgy. We need that Bored Ape on someone's desk. And that stirs the conversation at work, family, friends, and it explodes a brand into something that could be truly special. So we're just not there yet where it can just be like, buy this for $20 and you get these collectibles online. What can you do with the collectibles? Oh, you can put it on a cat. You can put it on a doodles. What the fuck is a doodle? Oh, you can just put it on, but it's in beta right now. No, it has to do something. And that's where props to Pudgy, even though it's not like exponentially incredible what you can do with it right now, but it's at least something. So if we can have a product behind the scenes, something for said Comic-Con, and you drop some traits, you drop that little taste.
Like, look at me. Like, I bought two, right? So I bought like 10 of the things. I only got two so far. I get a box coming up soon, but like my first open, the thing was paid for essentially, because I was like, the skins were selling for $20-25 or something like that. So people are like, oh, what is this? Oh, that's cool. There's a marketplace for it. Oh, wow. It's just, I made an account with my email. Now there's $25 in my account. That's cool. I never knew that. That's what NFTs are. Like, that's just a simple, people like to trade things. People, that's like an inherent thing. People like to haggle and barter.
Pokemon
and
do cards, all these things. Exactly. Baseball, Pokemon,
anything.
Flipping houses, eBay, flipping freaking mattresses, etc. Anything you can think of. I don't know why I said mattresses, but yeah, we're flipping them. But again, it's just, that's the human nature of it. People like to collect. And if you find someone that doesn't like to collect, they probably like to do something else. So it is what it is. Let them do that. Just if you like to collect stuff. NFTs, what the great part of it is that you literally don't have to have all this nonsense. And when you move, you have kids, whatever it is, you're not having to get rid of it or have to sell it. It's very simple. And you can sell it to anyone all over the world. And it gives you access to hundreds of things. So that's why That's one of the main reasons why NFTs for me, it's holy shit. We'll see how it goes. But the other thing I did want to talk about was the Pharrell drop over in the Doodles ecosystem. Obviously, we were delayed a week, and but we finally got it. We're here. I did a little live stream, had a nice fair people, a good amount of people over there checking myself out, opening up that pack. I have some bullet points that I want to go down. Number one, the experience of opening the box. From a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being incredible, 1 being bad, I will give it a 4. It was too short. I think the Genesis box one was better than this, which kind of concerns me because
it should go the opposite way.
Number two,
a little bit of improvements.
Give me like a listen, man. Like, I'm not asking for Pharrell to drop like a 2-3-4 minute track, but like, give me his voice or something. A little bit, like 15 seconds.
He posted an emoji heart.
Give me his voice, man. I don't need a freaking emoji. I can do the emoji myself. So I'm that's on joking. That side.
I saw someone posting, oh my God, Pharrell wrote a heart. I'm like, is this a joke?
So fucking out. The traits themselves, hear me out, A lot of them, most of them, I actually really like. The shoe, physical shoe, and what that could be. Just the process of it is just weird that you get a random shoe and a random shoe size.
And a random color.
And a random color. I'm okay with the random color. That's awesome. Something different, fine. Whatever. That I can go with that. But the random size?
That's just nonsense.
What do I do if
this is
I
like
don't?
The dumbest. Like, I feel like you're sure. This is like this was a terrible drop. Like, you got random 300 people. Got a random shoe and the same collectibles that we still can't use again.
We can use it. You can just slap it on.
What do you use it for?
But that's about. You can.
How many times have you opened that website? 3 times.
25? 6? 26 times?
To do what?
To see if it's going to do something. To see if it's going to do something, but it doesn't do anything. But hey. Listen, one of these days, this is what happens, unfortunately, in the NFT space, that people think that we need to build with the community. We have to do things. And when you ship products that are half ass, it is a little upsetting. Obviously, we're still in beta and we need to understand that. But the thing is that you're someone like you, Cryer, and myself, when someone says beta, we think something more than just this. It's a playable beta. And this isn't. For the customization aspect of it and what the playable aspect of what Doodles imagines, what this beta would be. Yeah, sure, it's playable because you can add traits. Sure. But it doesn't even make it. Oh, here's the thing about this whole thing character with Studio. But hear me out. You know what kind of pisses me off?
0-1%
if you're of the game. If you're going to make a Studio beta like this and it's going to be to showcase your Doodle, add the traits, everything like that, you at least have to have a button where it automatically gives you a screenshot where you can post said doodle or GIF or whatever to said internet. But you literally need to like
screenshot it and it doesn't come out well.
It doesn't
because,
come
like,
out good.
Yeah.
It's a lot of things on that side.
Yeah. Just, I don't know. All around, I was pretty unhappy with that. Like, just on the side of like, how much do these shoes cost you? A brand new pair of these shoes is like $100. They are saying they're just releasing a special color that only has his color green,
it's
I guess.
The green one. Yeah, it's the green one.
Those ones will be more valuable. The other colors are not going to be more valuable than a regular pair.
Listen, the red one is going to be valuable. Just want to shout out to the people that got the red one because I am Red Sox guy, Cryer. What do you mean? Why?
You're the pink color. And yellow socks guy.
I will find someone that does not like the color red. I will find it. I will figure it out.
You know what I'm saying? So out of that, I think it was only like, how many people got the green ones?
I think 10, it was like 12. 12? 10 or 12 or something like that.
Okay, so 12 people got something 15. That was worth something. Everyone else got, if I got this, I would have instantly sold it. Just how I did with the Genesis boxes. So they do something that's different. I still think they're making a product that no one's going to want for a decade, and I don't think they can survive that long. which is sad to me.
Yeah. We still love the Doodles, bro. We still love them. We're still fighting.
I do love the Doodles. I love the community.
Figure it out.
I love everything about
this. We got this. Things are down, but they're building away. It's all in the backside. It's all in the back end. They're taking the old school route. We're only seeing the new side, and we're just not accustomed to it. We'll figure it out. Keep charging Doodles. Don't charge us that much money, but keep doing what you're doing and just do your thing, girl. All right, Crier.
Swap.
When people are listening to this podcast, you understand it's going to be Thursday, June 15th, the day that The Flash is out.
Oh, yeah.
All over the world.
I think the only person that listens that cares is probably you.
Let me tell you something. The audience review, 95.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Audience score, 95. I think we got something
cooking. Wasn't it like the critics score like abysmal?
No. I think it was like 70 or in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
So nothing bad.
When you were describing it earlier, everyone said it was sounding like crap or something like that.
This is what's going on. The reviews are that anything you saw in the trailer, like there's no other spoilers. But the people that saw it a month prior, you get that like special viewing. A lot of them said it felt like we were missing something, and it turns out they left out some secrets. There is a factor of spoilers and whatnot that we have yet to see, so it should be interesting to see how they're going to do it. I still think at the end of the movie, there's going to be like a – it's going to just erase the DCEU. Because James Gunn has now come out and straight up said it is now the DCU and we are going forward. And just to let you know, Blue Beetle is the first character in the DCU and he is going to that movie and onward. It's ready to go. It's James Gunn at the helm. And let's see what we can do with that. Because listen, man, that man's a genius and what he did with the Guardians and even like Scooby-Doo, to be honest, like all these movies that this man's ever made, like it's just gold, and hopefully we can get something really cool. By the way, we interviewed Shaggy. Do you remember that? Where did he go? That's besides the point. He actually has a movie. It was a great interview, but yeah, unfortunately, he just didn't see the opportunity of
what wasn't a Web3 native.
Yeah, unfortunately. The other thing I did want to mention, Crier, is that Marvel released a website. It was a coded website that you had to enter a special code to see the first 5 minutes of Secret Invasion. And Secret Invasion is a brand new show on Disney Plus that is coming out on the 21st. And why does this sound like an ad? It's a brand new show coming out on Disney Plus about Nick Fury and the Skrulls. So Skrulls, if you guys remember in Captain Marvel, unless you fell asleep in the movie theater like I did, Captain Marvel had villains, or not villains, but... It's actually weird they didn't go the villain route, but they are going to go the villain route this time. But the Skrulls were the people, the green individuals, aliens that were able to change and morph into whoever the heck they wanted. And in the comics, this is one of the most like insane stories. Anyone and everyone is a Skrull. Tony, Spider-Woman, Elektra, I think Mr. Fantastic, like a bunch of people were Skrulls for years and we had no idea. So now we're getting the sense of, if I'm not mistaken from what we've been able to read and what they've released, Captain Marvel was supposed to help the Skrulls find a home off planet, off Earth. And unfortunately, she wasn't able to do it. And some of those Skrulls reproduced, are pissed, and they've been taking over the world without us knowing. And that's going to be the whole story behind it, where Nick Fury, it pretty much finds out like some of the people he's furious and they're Skrulls. So it's going to be pretty interesting. The first two episodes were released in some events in LA as well as Belgium and a few other places. Shout out to Radass, American Radass. He was actually able to go and see this, if I'm not mistaken. And a lot of people are saying that this has it's promising. It could be one of the best Marvel shows out on Disney Plus. And it has that feel of a thriller and you don't know what's happening and you don't know who's who, because they have this sense of Skrulls, or they're half of these people are Skrulls. So it's going to be pretty cool just to see what Marvel has cooking. Obviously, some people have been complaining about the last phase of Marvel for some time now. So hopefully we can flip those people into loving Marvel the way I do every single day. But Crier, let me ask you, when are you going to watch Flash?
Probably Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday movie. Okay, so Guardians Definitely 3 is like a Thursday movie, but Flash is a Tuesday movie. Spider-Verse, Spider-Verse movie
was a Friday movie, but that I got those $5 T-Mobile tickets. That's what.
Cryer got that Alpha. I used to have T-Mobile. That was money. T-Mobile's
money. Dude, they have a great every
stuff.
Week.
Phenomenal stuff. T-Mobile Tuesday. T-Mobile hit my lineup. I'll go back to you if you hit my lineup. Literally hit my lineup.
No, why'd you switch? What are you talking
AT&T.
About? Garbage. Fucking yeah, hate AT&T.
I know. It's okay. We're fine. We're happy. We're good. I have no service in my neighborhood anyway, so it doesn't matter if I had T-Mobile or AT&T.
Or not, yeah.
Exactly. So we're good on that side. We're saving some money. This allows me to degen into literally nothing because I haven't put money into anything lately. I'm going to be honest with you. But we're good. That's besides the point. Flash is coming out.
10X, my friend.
Listen, I haven't done shit. Flash is out as you listen, number one. Number two, get ready for Secret Invasion. And number three, Cryer, how is Diablo treating
you? Dude, it's fucking incredible.
Such I actually was over a friend's job. House, and he showed me it. And it's just like a dungeon. It's like a dungeon game, right? It's like the whole crawling. Nine. Yeah. We'll see. I'm still on the Zelda train right now. I haven't even played like Destiny. The only other game I've been playing is Marvel Snap. By the way, Cryer. The brand new update for Marvel Snap Conquer Mode is nuts. Oh, yeah, so you know how you can do friendly competitions with someone.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have 10 or 8 or 10 cubes and you play multiple games. You have to get as many cubes out when you play a friendly. Imagine that. So it's super cool. So you can do you and I can play. It's not just like one game and it's over.
Yeah,
you
it's
have
like
to win multiple
best of five,
cubes.
Essentially.
Pretty much. Best of five, best of four, depending on if you snap or if you don't. Now, this game mode is... It works in this game depending if you snap. That's literally what I just... All right, whatever. What's going on in this game is it's that, but it's actually online and it's competitive and there's a brand new store where you can buy... tokens, gold, variants, a bunch of stuff. On top of that, it pretty much is you getting into a tournament and you can't lose the tournament. So you need to win 2 in a row, 3 in a row, 4 in a row, 5 in a row. The more you go into it, the more rewards you get. And that also helps you with your daily achievements and everything that have to do in the game. So
it's
it's a tournament style. It's a tournament like cards. Sudden death. Like you can't lose. If you lose, you start all the way back at the beginning. Really cool feature. They also, by the way, RIP to Galactus. They nerfed my boy. Unfortunately, he is now a 6-7. And the only way you can win with him where he does his Galactus move is if you're winning that location and you put Galactus there, that is the only way it works. So if let's say you're losing that location and you put Galactus, even though it's the only card there, the effects of Galactus will not work. So RIP to my boy Galactus.
That was such a terrible card design. To be
it honest. Was such a phenomenal card. I loved it. I used that thing like no.
Yeah,
other.
But it was just it changed the rules of the game. It's stupid.
It like, was phenomenal.
Like now and now that's why
phenomenal.
Are you ever gonna, right. You're never going to use it again.
Oh, just because you said that, I'm going to use it right now after this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm probably going to lose, and then I'm going to go to the other one.
Yeah. How far go down?
Actually, I would like to say that I reached infinite. And the new feature of Infinite is that you can't go under Infinite now. So if I'm at 100 and you lose, you can't go under 100. So I can use Galactus all I want. Yeah, Cryer, that wraps it up for us. For all you listening, thank you so much for tuning into another episode of Nerd FT Radio. Go play some Marvel Snap. Go play some Zelda. Go play some Diablo 4. And throw some
hit
bricks.
Me up if you're playing Diablo 4. I'll run some dungeons with you guys.
I did see that. Like, it'd be better if you had more people.
Dude, it's fantastic. I play with 4 people all the time, and yeah, it's great. We have a bunch. I have a ton of people playing it.
All right, we'll figure it out. All right, guys. Peace.
Peace.